Welcome to the Central Assembly Podcast. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
Well, in a moment, we're going to be taking a look at a handful of texts, but as I was kind of reflecting on what the Lord was laying on my heart for tonight, I you know, last week, Pastor Crystal talked with us, and she talked about tools. It was a great message. But right in the middle of that, she talked about Proverbs 21:31, where it says, the horse is made ready for the day of battle, but victory rests with the Lord. And she used that to talk about something Pastor Jim talks to us about very regularly on the staff that he refers to as the marriage of excellence with the anointing of the Lord. If you were actually here on Wednesday, you heard Pastor Jim reference that exact same thing. So this idea of the marriage of excellence and the anointing of the Lord. And if you work for us, you hear us talk about this a whole lot. This is in fact, it's one of our 10 core values for our staff team, is that we seek to do that in everything that we do. Pastor Jim actually says all of us need to be performing this marriage every day, this marriage between excellence and anointing. And it's kind of interesting because when we first start talking to some people about that, you see some people kind of furrow up their brow and they're like, I'm not so sure about this. You know, because I think in their mind, they might think this is some kind of unequal yoking. You know, we have the anointing of the Lord is very clearly sacred. You know, it's a holy thing, the anointing of the Lord. But all over here on the other side, excellence kind of feels like it might be a little bit worldly. It might be kind of prideful, carnal, right? You know, it's kind of saying, look at how great I am at these things. So you know, I think we've kind of all seen some people when they get engaged, we kind of go, eh, I don't know about that one. And I think some people think about this idea of the engagement and the marriage of excellence and the anointing of the Lord a little bit that way. And I really think that it's because we don't maybe have what the biblical definition of excellence really is. We've maybe allowed our thinking about excellence to kind of be co-opted by maybe a more worldly definition. And when I think about that, I will confess that I'm kind of a fan of documentary film. That's kind of my favorite. It was one of my pastimes. I actually went through a phase where for a year I tried to watch a new documentary every week and just see what I could learn from it. And some of them are great, some of them are terrible. You know, it's kind of all over the place with documentaries. But I got kind of enamored with this documentary series that showed on PBS, and it was called The Pursuit of Excellence. And it's a series of documentaries. So it aired, there was one every week. Every week I'd be, you know, home. It was before, we didn't have DVR or on demand or anything. So you had to actually watch the TV at the right time. So yeah, I think most of us probably remember that. People my age and younger don't understand that. and you can actually still catch this on PBS's website on demand now. So, but it's a series called The Pursuit of Excellence. And it's a fascinating thing that the filmmaker Mark Lewis does. He takes some very, and no offense to anybody who might do these things, but they're kind of strange and they're obscure things. And he follows people who are at like the pinnacle of success in kind of weird stuff. So it's things like, probably the most mainstream one is synchronized swimming. And if that's the most mainstream thing you're looking at, then it's kind of far out there. So there's one that follows a group of hairdressers that compete in something called the Hair Olympics. There's apparently a Hair Olympics every year to crown who's the best hairdresser in the world. And I mean, it's none of us would have hair that would be at that. Probably the two most fascinating ones, there's one that follows this group of people who enjoy competitively showing ferrets, like the animal. So it's kind of like the Westminster Kennel Club of ferrets. And they have a big ferret show. Apparently the granddaddy of them all ferret show is in Ohio, and it's called the Buckeye Bash Ferret Competition. And it follows these people who do the ferrets. And probably the one I'm most fascinated with, just so you'd believe me at how strange this is, I got some pictures from one called The Lord of the Gourd. And it's about people who competitively grow pumpkins. And they're not just any pumpkin. They're like, as you can see, they're like on dual axle trailers, weigh 1,100 pounds. And they take them all to this festival called the Cooperstown Pumpkin Festival in upstate New York. And they have a big competition as to who can grow the biggest pumpkin. So it's kind of fascinating to look at this, and this documentary filmmaker kind of characterized this as the pursuit of excellence. And when you watch this, it's kind of interesting because each one of them are interesting in their own right, but when you watch the whole series, you start to see there are some things that are similar between the ferret trainers and the pumpkin growers and the hairdressers and the synchronized swimmers. And some of them are good things. You know, some of it is good and pure, but some of it is just kind of a little out there. You know, there are some people in each one of those genres that are just almost neurotic about it. They're consumed fully by things. In fact, to the point where I'm not sure that they're actually pursuing excellence as much as they're enjoying success. You know, and I think that we're going to see in a little bit there's a difference between those two things. But when you watch this series of things, you kind of come away from it kind of going, I don't know if I really want to be good at anything. You know, it's kind of, these people maybe are a little strange or they're a little over the top. And I think it's important to say, even though they call that the pursuit of excellence, I don't think this is what Pastor Jim means when he says we want to have the marriage of excellence and the anointing. He's talking more about a biblical definition of excellence. And if we really look into the scriptures, we see excellence kind of shows up a lot, themes of excellence. Here's just a few. Ecclesiastes 9, verse 10 says, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. Right? 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. There's other, you know, that's kind of all-encompassing verses. There's a few others where scripture kind of zeroes in on a specific task, in various elements of our life. So in 2 Corinthians 8:7, Paul says, since you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in the love we have kindled. So he's excellence in all of these things. See that you also have excellence and excel in the grace of giving that Paul talks about throughout that chapter. I think if we look even at the great commandment in Matthew 23:37, we can see that almost as a call to strive toward excellence. You know, it's where Jesus says, love the Lord your God, what? With all your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your mind. And that's the first and the greatest commandment. He's quoting Deuteronomy 6:5, but in both passages, the way the all is used kind of denotes to the fullest extent. You know, it's not just a little bit, it's with excellence. It's to the fullest extent. I think that when we look at these verses, and you could find some others in Scripture too that talk about this, but I think they help us see that God wants us to excel in both our inward character, like we see in 2 Corinthians 8:7, as well as in our behavior and in our deeds, you know, like we see in Ecclesiastes 9:10, do everything, do it all with all your might. There's not really a way, you know, if I think about it, there's not really a way someone can love God with all their heart, like Matthew 23:37, you know, admonishes us to, without seeking to do his or her best in all we do for the glory of God, like we're called to do in Corinthians. You know, so I think, can see that pursuing excellence, pursuing the right kind of excellence, not the ferret and the pumpkin excellence that we were talking about before, but the right kind of excellence is both a goal for us and a mark of spiritual maturity. You know, for that to be true, you know, the pursuit of excellence must be motivated by right values and priorities and motives. And if we miss on that part of things, it will immediately go from being a mark of maturity to really being a sign of immaturity. And, you know, it just kind of becomes another result of man's, you know, obsession with our own significance. I think that's kind of what we see more in the pumpkin piece. So related to this kind of overarching idea about what is biblical excellence, I thought we would just look real quick tonight at kind of just four brief thoughts related to what it means to pursue excellence biblically. The first thing I think we can observe from these verses about excellence is that pursuing biblical excellence is not a quest for superiority. I'm going to say that again. Pursuing biblical excellence is not about a quest for superiority. It's probably the most important thought in this whole time tonight. And I think confusion on this point is probably one of the main reasons why we might feel uneasy about this idea of marrying excellence to the anointing. I think that's because so many definitions, like we said before, so many definitions of excellence we try to put on it, you know, they invoke the idea of superiority, you know, especially as it relates to competition. But, you know, being the best is not really what we're after. Philippians 2, 3, and 4 reminds us to do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but rather in humility, value others above yourself, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. And that's really, there's a lot, I mean, we can unpack that verse, that's a whole sermon in and of itself in that verse. But I think we see, you know, we don't want to strive to show our own value. We want to strive to find the value in others. That doesn't mean don't do things with excellence, but it means excellence has to mean something else if we're supposed to live in humility and show others as more valuable than ourselves. This is not a competition. You know, math people would say this is not a zero-sum game, right, Dr. Burnett? This is not zero-sum where my winning is the same as the extent of your losing or vice versa. It's not that way. I think this is where the documentary kind of gets it wrong. I think, you know, everything is about that they talk about in the pursuit of excellence is framed around competition. It's the pumpkin competition. It's the Hare Olympics. It's the synchronized swimming meets that you go to. It's the ferret show. It's all framed around this idea that to be excellent, you have to be the best. And it's really interesting when you dig into that series, you see really people who get it wrong on the wrong end of that. You know, there's you see some of the people like who breed the ferrets really enjoy winning. And then the ferrets become their expression for how they like to win. The pumpkin people really like to win. Pumpkins are just their expression of how they like to win. But you also see a lot of people who get it right. I don't want to bang on the documentary series too much because it actually is an interesting series because you see people who get it right too, and the juxtaposition of those is fun. But there's a lot of people who just love ferrets. They love everything about ferrets. They love people who love ferrets. And the competitions for them is an opportunity for them to get together with people and celebrate their love for ferrets. Really different from the people who just want to win. Same thing with the pumpkins. There's people who just love to garden, and they see the competitions as an opportunity to get together and celebrate success with all of the gardeners. I think that's more what we're looking for. There's an author and a Baptist pastor named Brian Harbour that writes about this. He says it this way: success means being the best, but excellence means being your best. Success to many means being better than everyone else, but excellent means being better tomorrow than you were yesterday. Success means exceeding the achievements of other people, while excellence means matching your practice with your potential. After all, Ecclesiastes 9:10, it doesn't say to us, whatever your hand finds to do, do it until you're the best at it. That's not what we're called to do. We're called to do it with all your might, all of our might. I also think it's kind of fascinating to think about. There are some things I might be able to do my best at that I will never find success at. I love to hear Nancy play the piano. I could practice forever, and I would never play the piano as well as Nancy. I could play the piano my best. I actually enjoy playing the piano, and it's something I enjoy doing. I do my best at it, but you're never going to hear me play up here because I'm just not the best at that. My best is different from the best. By the same token, I think there's times where we can have success but have not done our best. You know, we can go until we have success in an endeavor, but we may not have done it with all of our might. We may not have done it as unto the Lord, like the Corinthians verse talks about. So biblically speaking, the pursuit of excellence refers to pursuing and doing the best that we can with the gifts and abilities that God gives, giving our best to the glory of God, and not just trying to outdo other people that are around us. You know, the measuring stick is not other people. And I say that very happily with Jim Bradford on the front row listening to me speak tonight. The second point is that pursuing excellence is an all-inclusive activity. Pursuing excellence is an all-inclusive activity. Two of these verses really, we see, invoke the word whatever. Ecclesiastes says, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. And the second part of 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, whatever you do, do all for the glory of God. If we really do all that we do for the glory of God, like this verse says, then the way we take on any aspect of our lives, you know, whether it's our jobs, our hobbies, our family activities, you know, whatever we do, it can become an act of worship unto the Lord. And if we're going to do it as an act of worship unto the Lord, we better be giving it our all, doing our best. You know, I think in that sense, you know, even growing the pumpkins or showing the ferrets or any of the other things in those documentaries can be a good thing, and it can be an act of worship unto the Lord. It's kind of a freeing idea to think about the way I do my work is more of the act of worship than what it actually is that I'm doing. It's how, the how matters. The how matters. And if a task is worth doing at all, then we need to do it as unto the Lord, and that means doing it completely, diligently, and fully. Related to this point about the idea of excellence being all-inclusive, math people, again, Dr. Burnett was one of my favorite professors at Evangel, not one of, he was absolutely, his course on abstract algebra changed the way I look at the world. So not a day goes by that I don't think about that course, Dr. Burnett, but we would say this next point is a corollary. It derives its proof completely from the point that's above it. But the pursuit of excellence is not limited by the nature of the task. If it's all-inclusive, that means even the small stuff matters, right? Yeah. There's not some things that are the important things, and we're going to do those with excellence, and we'll do our best, and we'll do, you know, with all of our might and as an act of worship. But these other things over here that are small, we're not going to care about those things. In fact, we really see this clearly in 1 Corinthians 10:31, that even the mundane things, he starts out there and he says, whatever you do, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do unto the Lord. There's not a more mundane act. It's something we do multiple times a day, every day, is eat and drink. And Paul's reminding us when we eat and when we drink, even that we need to do as unto the Lord. The way we do even the little things, the mundane, the day-to-day, the everyday tasks that seem inconsequential to us sometimes, We still do those as an act of worship unto the Lord. You know, when we talk about this with our staff, it's a great reminder that every part of every job matters. You know, it's not like Pastor Jim's job is the one that really counts. We need him to do his best. But our custodial team, it doesn't really matter if they vacuum well. You know, we remind everybody that every job we do around here matters, and it matters, you know, to God, not just that we do it, but how we do it matters. With that in mind, the last point about biblical excellence is that pursuing excellence should be a wholehearted endeavor. Ecclesiastes 9:10, you know, he says, do it with all your might. The great commandment, you know, with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your mind, all shows up in these verses, in each of these verses. And it doesn't mean, you know, just part of our heart, with our whole heart, with all of our heart. I think when we look carefully at these verses, we can see that we can do all to the glory of God, like 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, because we love the Lord with all of our heart, with all of our mind, and with all of our strength. You know, ultimately, biblical pursuit of excellence is a heart matter, right? It springs from the desire to love God with all of our heart. And that kind of brings us right back nicely into this idea about the marriage ceremony between excellence and anointing. You know, when we pursue biblical excellence, it comes from an inner place of seeking first to honor God and then have his anointing on all we do. So we're doing a good job because we're seeking that anointing. It's the, you can't extract each from the other. They go together hand in hand. That's exactly what the picture of marriage is all about. You know, Psalm 127:1 reminds us that unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. And unless the Lord watches over the city, the guards stand watch in vain. We don't want our work to be in vain. We don't want to do our best on these things just to have that work be in vain. So we have to see these two things as completely going together. So as we wrap up, we've looked at some kind of quick observations on biblical excellence. It's not an exhaustive list. It's just a few thoughts I wanted to share about that, kind of since it's been a theme that has shown up lately. But we're reminded that excellence is different from superiority. That pursuing excellence is an all-inclusive activity. That means that there's no task that's inconsequential. It's not related to the nature of the task in hand, and that it's a heart matter. We should be doing it wholeheartedly. I think when we look at excellence this way, we can see that it is absolutely has to be seen in terms of marriage with the anointing of the Lord. I think this is neatly summed up in Ephesians 4:16. Ephesians 4:16 is a verse that's kind of emerged as a theme verse for our staff over the last year and a half that we've been working with Pastor Jim, and it just says, from him, that's, you know, Christ is who he's referring to there. So from Christ, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. You know, it's from him that the body grows. It's not from our work that the body grows. It's from him. That's the anointing of the Lord. But it happens as each part does its work in love. So that means I'm doing my work in love. Pastor Jim's doing his work in love. Dr. Burnett, Nancy, Jill, y'all from City Reach, we're all doing our work as the body's being built up and grow. So as we go through the week this week, I'd really challenge you the same way Pastor Jim challenges us as a staff. I would challenge you to try to perform a marriage ceremony between this idea of excellence and the anointing every day. If you can make that part of your daily goals spiritually, I think it'll change the way we all look at things. Is that something we want to do? Amen. 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 Well, let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you call us, that you choose us. And Lord, when you call us and you choose us, you equip us. And we thank you for that tonight. Lord, we ask tonight that you'll give us the strength and the mindset to truly do all we do with all of our might and as an act of worship to you. But right alongside that, Lord, we ask for your blessing. We can't do it without your anointing. So we thank you that that's available to us, and we ask you for that, because unless you build the house, all of our work's going to be in vain. That's not what we want. So we acknowledge our total dependence on you, even as we do our best in everything that we do. We ask that you'll go with us this week. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, have a good week.